Jeesus ei tyytynyt siihen, että hän olisi
antanut was not satisfied
koskettaa häntä.
Vaan hän tahtoi vahvistaa heidän uskoaan. He didn't just let the disciples touch his wounds, but he also wanted to strengthen them with the living word of God. And we can also ask that he would open up his word through spirit for also us. And the teaching continues. He thought also about us, us Christians who live in later times, who are not able to see Jesus physically, and we cannot touch him physically.
Samalla kun Jeesus näin toimii, niin ajattelisin,
and en tiedä, at this Jesus acts in this way, and I'm not sure if I can estimate or evaluate what is the most important thing here in this text. But one thing that comes to my mind is that he gives an example to today's believers about where we should look for the answer when our faith is getting weak and we are surrounded by doubts. When the enemy of the soul is whispering to his own awesome offers, and we are uncertain what kind of attitude we should have to different kinds of matters. So these matters of faith are the kind that the gifts of understanding have not been given here on earth, and these matters of faith cannot be resolved with our reason, or we cannot solve faith matters based on different opinions. On the contrary, we have been able to see that the most clear, the brightest faith, like the most lucid understanding of faith, is often found in children and those who are childlike in spirit. Jesus speaks to his disciples. And the older translation says it nicely, even though these travelers are being rebuked. It was said here, "You fools and slow of heart to believe all these things." And I don't think the word fool is used very much anymore in that context. But it's kind of like a tender way to rebuke. I think if I could have heard that kind of reproaches in my childhood home, because I haven't been very good at practical things or manual skills, if like mother or father says to their kid that you fool, so that would maybe mean that you are very skillful, but at the same time you are very dear. So we can also realize that Jesus wanted to like be with them, and he wanted to rebuke them in a tender way. Here in this text or in the Bible, it is like the very exact Bible portions are not told to us which Bible portions Jesus taught to the disciples, but it was said here that he explained them about Moses and about all the prophets. We can think that the books of Moses is more about the law, but also this passage tells us, and we know it, that throughout the Old Testament, there's like a prophecy about the coming of Messiah. It's like a guiding thread there in the Old Testament. And in the first pages of the Bible, when we read about the fall into sin, we can read how the Heavenly Father did not leave the first human couple alone in the sin, but rather He gave them a promise that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And then that promise was renewed by God to the patriarchs and to David. And the prophets looked forward to the birth of Jesus and the events of Passover or the Easter. Like, those prophecies were very detailed, and people in the Old Testament, they were able to see those things that were going to happen already ahead of time. So Jesus started or began to enlighten these matters to these disciples, that the events of Easter have already been prophesied in the Old Testament, and that is how things were supposed to be, because otherwise we wouldn't have made it to heaven, or we couldn't make it to heaven.
Tästä tekstistä voimme päätellä, että vaikka Jeesus vähän moittikin näitä kulkijoita, niin
we can conclude from these texts that even though Jesus rebuked these travelers a little, so these travelers really wanted to listen to Jesus, and they were refreshed by the encouragement of Jesus. And when they approached the village of Emmaus, so at that point, Jesus said that he would go further and continue his journey. But the travelers invited Jesus over to their house and invited Jesus to come and eat. They wanted to serve Jesus. And at that point, they recognized Jesus. How did the word affect? How did the teaching of Jesus affect to these travelers? Here in this portion, the older version says this in a nice way when they're recalling is happening. When Jesus went away from their house, so they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures?" So it was said, and they said, "Didn't our heart burn within us?" The eyes of faith were opened to believe and to understand. That was the most important thing there. But it also happened so that their minds became warmed up and felt like they were like they had very warm feelings. And they got to feel about what Peter wrote to believers in Asia. He said that you have tasted that Lord is God is sweet. So they had been able to taste of the Lord as they had received the grace of repentance from the midst of Gentiles. Our faith is not based on feelings, but hopefully, as many of you, dear listeners, you have been able to experience during this summer services, that you have been able to taste the sweetness of the Lord, and you have felt according to the motto of the summer services, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Then it looks like the comfort and the teaching and the instruction of the living word, it also touched these travelers with love. And these travelers, they were worried about their teacher, whom they did not know at that point. They were saying, like, stay with us. It's getting late. It's evening. It doesn't pay to continue traveling at this time of the day. Maybe they also thought that maybe we could hear more of this nice and comforting teaching if Jesus stayed with them. When it comes to the Word of God, it's the kind of food that when we eat it, we want it more, even more. And they also wanted to serve Jesus, their teacher. The love was also seen in this, how even though they had just walked 12 kilometers from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were saying to Jesus that it doesn't pay to continue your way. There might have been some dangers on the way too. They might have thought about that. But when they realized, when it finally dawned on them that they had been taught by Jesus, so they totally forgot the 12-kilometer walk. And all the pain. So they realize that in Jerusalem there are other believers and other disciples that maybe they haven't heard all of these things that we have heard and seen. And all the rest of the disciples were still fearful and uncertain. So these two travelers realized that we need to rush and go tell these nice greetings. So they totally forgot that they had already walked a long way and it was getting night. How is it? Are there here those of you together with me who find yourselves in these travelers who were going to Emmaus? Doesn't it often feel here when we're endeavoring on this path that faith is weak? Not just or feeble, and we might be like rebuking ourselves and think that we understand so little of the secrets of God's Word. And just like we already heard that the enemy of the soul teases us, and just like the enemy said to the first couple, that did God really say so? Couldn't we believe a little differently, or what about when it comes to temporal matters? Does it happen so that that Jesus had come to this earth so that we could benefit from him in our temporal life. But how is it in our temporal life that if we prosper in our temporal life, so then we don't always remember to thank the Heavenly Father? It can feel that we can have this kind of a thought that, oh, that's things went as planned. That's how things were supposed to go when things go as we have planned, even though the plans of the Heavenly Father are way better. But then when the temporal life does not go according to our plans, and we face and encounter distress and pain and fear, and tribulation, and we might feel that when we are in the midst of big group of people, we might feel ourselves lonesome and lonely. And youth and young people might be struggling with finding a right school or finding a profession or a spouse, or when we're struggling with some temporal matters and when they don't happen the way as we have planned, or the schedule is not the kind we would like. So our Heavenly Father allows disease and suffering into our lives. Or there might be some financial problems in families. So in all these difficult situations, do we always have the strength to be satisfied what the Heavenly Father has allowed in our life? Or does it sometimes happen so that we can be a little bit dissatisfied, we're not satisfied, and we would like to go and give advice to the Heavenly Father how these temporal matters should go in my case? That's kind of people we are. But despite these weaknesses, Jesus comes to stand on our side. And I remember one thing from previous sermon. Brother ended his sermon by telling the girl to her mom that even if you, mom, got angry at me, Jesus won't get mad at me. So we can trust that even we are sometimes stupid matters, Jesus does not get mad at us. He comes to stand by our side. He comforts us with the living word of God and with promises through the Holy Spirit. And the core of the promise is that even today, dear listener, you can believe all your sins forgiven through grace in Jesus' name and blood. And with this faith, the promises of God's word, they're valid, and with this faith, we'll once make it to heaven. In this way, we can safely remain believing. I want to ask if I can believe all my own sins forgiven. I desire to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Edellä puhui Mika Tahkola.